Number five, Sam Daniels, 09-0699. Mr. Stagg?
Morning.
Morning.
This is a restoration hearing to consider the installation of 686 square feet of unauthorized fixed deck and floating dock, as well as some jet ski mooring pads at the applicant's property situated along Brewers Creek in Carlton and Olive County. The project is located along Brewers Creek, a tributary to Tuckatuck Creek in Olive County. On May 21st, 2009, the applicant did submit a joint permit application seeking authorization to install both a bulkhead and additional pier decking at his existing private pier along Brewers Creek. This is Brewers Creek near the mouth where it joins Tuckatuck Creek. It is upstream of the Tuckatuck Creek Bridge. And Mr. Daniel's property is this house, and this is the pier structure, floating dock, boathouse. A review of the drawings and photographs provided with the application depicted a boathouse roof for which staff could not find any previous request or permit issuance. Additionally, the drawings that were submitted did not provide enough detail of the proposed structures being requested. The applicant was notified of this fact on May 28th of this year, of both the drawing deficiencies as well as the unauthorized boathouse roof, and we requested some clarification concerning the construction of the boathouse roof structure. On June 10th, we did receive revised drawings that were submitted by the applicant's agent, Mr. Donald L. Midget, in an apparent attempt to address the concerns noted in our previous letter. Included were signed adjacent property owner forms for the entire project to include the boathouse roof. Staff responded in a letter of June 25th, confirming that boathouse roof, being less than 700 square feet and open-sided, and with the approval of the adjacent property owners, was now considered to be in compliance with the permit exemption that is provided by the Code of Virginia. However, our letter did further note that based on both the submitted revised drawings and the staff visit, that the deck structures at the site far exceeded those that were allowed by the Code of Virginia, which is currently 400 square feet, without some additional permitting. We again requested drawings depicting all structures in addition to any proposed additions or reconfigurations. The letter further noted that the removal of a portion of the existing deck areas such that no more than 400 square feet of pier protrusions or floating platforms existed would bring the project back into compliance, and we could continue processing any new requests. We received a letter from Mr. Donald Midget on July the 21st, in which he indicated that Mr. Daniels would like to continue processing the current request for additional dock space, the open-sided roof structure, as well as the deletion of the bulkhead structure. Additionally, Mr. Midget indicated the applicant would submit a new separate application for a riprap revetment instead of a bulkhead along the shoreline. Staff interpreted this letter to be an indication that no existing structures would be removed by the applicant, and as a result, a sworn complaint was compiled and a notice to comply was issued to the applicant on July the 30th of this year. The notice to comply did state that no additional action on the pending application would occur until the violation was addressed and resolved by the full commission. Staff received additional drawings on August 13, 2009 that depicted the currently existing structures as well as the proposed changes. I'm going to stop here and go through some of the slides. Again, this is the structure. Main stem. This is a gangway to a large floating platform. This is a jet ski dock, drive-on dock. This is a double jet ski drive-on dock. And there's some fixed pier structures here and a kind of a double catwalk pier here adjacent to the boathouse, which you'll see a little better in the ground photos. Again, this is a fixed pier platform area. As you can see, they have a table. There's actually an elevated section of walkway here. There's another catwalk pier at a lower level that runs parallel with the actual boathouse. Because of the way that's configured, we have to count this catwalk and this fixed pier towards the 400 square feet. We did not count either one of the actual catwalk piers that are adjacent to the boat. They are less 5 feet or less. The other side of the pier, you've got the dual jet ski drive-on platforms, the single one here, and this floating platform, all of which we believe are counted towards the 400 square feet as either fixed dock or floating dock type structures.
What's the square footage of the floating dock?
This is 8 by 35. Okay. And one more view looking down out the creek. This is downstream. And looking up the creek. We did receive additional drawings on August the 13th that depicted the currently existing structures, as well as the proposed changes. These drawings were similar to those requested in the original application in May. It appears these may have been completed before the notice to comply was received, since the cover letter accompanying it was dated August 7th. Mr. Daniels acknowledged receipt of the notice to comply on August 10th. These drawings indicate an existence of 424 square feet of dock and floating platform areas.
Is it 4 or 5, Benny? I'm sorry.
524.
Thank you.
Staff conducted an extensive site visit and measured the same structures. Staff's measurement indicate a slightly higher total of 686 square feet of existing dock and floating platforms. This does include the floating dock, the fixed dock, the floating platform, and the two jet ski mooring pads. I think part of the discrepancy in this drawing is this floating platform is shown as 4 feet wide. It's 8 feet wide. This is existing. The application that was submitted was to basically change this configuration somewhat and increase the dock area, the fixed dock area here, to have more of a kind of an entertainment area in this. There was no proposed changes of any of this.
And so I understand these drawings were submitted by Mr. Daniels' agent?
Yes. Okay. Now, this is my representation of the measurements that I took. This is my drawing. Looking at the same structures. I don't have any of the proposed, new stuff, but this is existing, minus the slip and the other catwalk pier. I didn't draw those in because they're not germane. This is that double sort of catwalk area, but if you count all of this, these structures, and this is clearly 8 by 35, we did not count the gangway. I come up with it 686 square feet, mm-hmm. which means the 286 square feet over the what would be allowed without a permit. There was an application for a pier here previously, but not in the configuration you see. It was much less decking involved. In a letter dated August 19th, staff advised the applicant and his agent that our measurements indicated more dock space than those indicated in the drawings they had submitted. The letter also indicated staff had suspended any additional processing of the pending application until the violation was resolved, as stated clearly in the notice to comply. Staff noted that since it appeared the applicant was not willing to remove any of the existing structures, the matter would have to be placed on a commission agenda for action in the future. We also informed the applicant and agent by certified letter September the 14th and signed for on the 15th that we would consider this at a restoration hearing on today's date, and that their attendance was required at the meeting. Summary and recommendation. The applicant initially indicated he would be willing to remove portions of the unauthorized structures to allow for processing of the application that was actually submitted in May. However, later correspondence confirmed that no structures were to be removed, while they still sought authorization to reconfigure and add even more structures at the site. In this case, staff recommends commission direct removal of the floating platform, which is that area colored in there, which is 8 by 35 feet, which would result in a total square footage of 406 square feet, which still puts them slightly over the 400 square feet allowed. We do believe that the applicant can accommodate any necessary water-dependent activities at this location without further exceeding the 400 square feet of dockage allowed by the code without a permit, However, if the applicant removes the platforms as noted, while still slightly exceeding the 400 square feet allowed by the code, we would recommend continued processing of some type of reconfiguration of the existing structures to accommodate appropriate water-dependent activities at the site. I'd be happy to answer any
questions for Mr. Stagg. Mr. Schick?
If the floating jet ski platforms,
yes.
Why aren't they considered the same as either a lift or a boat in a slip type? Why is that counted towards the
Well, we've interpreted the code when it says floating platforms. I mean, they are floating platforms. And, yeah, I don't know if they encroach over state-owned land. Certainly a boat does do the same thing, but a boat's not addressed in the code. Obviously, if you have a boat, it has to sit in the water. That's certainly up, I guess, to interpretation, but that's the reason that we've counted those. He does have another, as you can see in the photograph, he does have one jet ski on a lift.
On a lift.
Over right here.
And you did not count that?
No, because that is a lift. Just out of the water, you know, except when the boat's and the jet ski's lowered.
Further questions? Can we go back to that diagram again?
Mine or theirs?
Yours.
This one.
Now go back to theirs, please.
They were proposing in the application to remove this. That's why it's dotted. But that is existing.
What part
of the reconfiguration, they were going to just deck the whole area.
What I'm having a little bit of a problem with, I'm trying to give everybody the benefit of the doubt, it just seems kind of ironic to me that the end pier to the farthest to the right is 4x41.5 on his drawing, yet on your drawing, if you go back and look at the outwardmost, there's 4x41.5. I'm wondering whether somebody put some field notes down and then didn't.
I can't address that.
I'll get to you in a second. It just seems a little
confident in my measurements. I'm not.
Oh, I'm not. And I'm not denying it because the other one doesn't have a measurement on the end of it.
Right.
One, the other one does. Right. That's inaccurate.
Right.
Unless the whole thing is turned sideways, and then I don't understand any of it. But anyway, Mr. Robbins.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Ben, just to be clear, that one piece across the top there, you're not counting that as a finger pier, is that?
This one. That's correct. There's two of these. There's another one out here I didn't draw. The boats. They're boats with capital piers.
But you're counting that as part of the L head.
Counting all of this as part of the L head. The 4x23, the 12x12, the 11x10, the 5x12, and the 8x35. I am not counting this.
I'm not counting that one
or the outbound either.
Showed that just so it sort of matched the drawing they
right.
had.
Okay.
Just seems kind of interesting that same dimensions, only inaccurate.
These are two different levels, too.
Right.
This one's lower than this one.
Further questions?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Fox.
Okay, so you counted 4x23, I'm reading down below.
Right, so right here.
Then you counted 12x12.
Right.
But you didn't count the 4x12 that's in that corner. You could raise your arrow.
Yeah. You're right talking about right here. I believe that this may be 12 all the way to here, and I just didn't draw it that way.
It's an overlay.
Okay, yeah. All right.
But that might be an error on my
part. Otherwise, it would be 12x16.
Further questions? Thank you. Is the applicant here or represented?
Ben, could you leave that drawing in, please?
Sure.
Yeah.
Who's going to testify in this case?
Mr. Midian.
Just you, sir?
Yes, sir.
Right here. Solemnly swear testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, except to God. You state your name and who you represent for the record.
My name is Donald Midget. I'm here representing Mr. Sam Daniels, the property owner.
Pleasure to have you here, sir.
I've got some close-up photographs. Picture. Okay. On July 16th, the job site was visited by Mr. Ben Stagg and also the Army Corps of Engineers. These measurements were taken, and there was an error. When I submitted the report, we had it down listed as 41.5.5. It's been remeasured. The exact dot is 8 feet by 34 and a half, rounded off to 35 feet. So the measurements are correct there.
Okay.
So our appeal, or asking for a waiver here, is this dock right here, this floating pier you can see is used for the children's swim, fish on, and everything like that. The two jet ski pads, if we remove them, which is 170 feet, that will only, keeping the blue-green dock there, that will only leave us 64 feet over. And that's what we're asking, for a waiver of the two floating jet skis, and that will bring us down to 64 feet over. During the initial job site, it was stated that there was no concern for the jet ski floats. Only the floating dock was a major concern. And that's what we tried to address in our drawings and in our photographs. During discussion, the CFR was broken out, and it appeared that the job site was put in early spring of 2006, before the permit applications were required for this. I guess after review, we were notified that we were 280-some feet over.
286.
Yes, sir. And that one section to bring up to the dock there, there's a 4x23 that runs all the way across, and then the 12x12 is just an overlay on top of that. So I'm counting that as 12x8 right there.
So the 23 is
Mr. Fox.
Up to that.
Right. What it is, this is 4x23 goes all the way across.
To that.
Right there.
Okay.
From here to here is 8x12. But this deck overlay, we wanted this to match this here, so it's just an overlay. We got this about 4x23, and then that thing on top of it. So right here, we counted that twice. So, yeah.
I hear you, but that what you're saying it doesn't agree with Mr. Stagg's measurements, which would be 23 to here.
No, 23. It's 4x23. Ben, 4x23 to the here.
I can't say I'm not out there again now. But that's supposed to be the scale, too. So.
Yes.
We have a photograph.
The photographs.
I mean, it's all at the same level. It could possibly be that it is 8 feet, that 12 should be 8 feet, and but the 4x23 and the 12x12 are all at the same level.
Right.
It's not overlaid.
4x23 is this way, 4 feet across, 23 to the end.
Right.
That was put in, and then this was come back as a second. When we run the boards this way, it just overlaps that.
Then if that's the scale, that 23 can't go and be equal to 41 feet.
Well, I may have just drawn it wrong.
This right here holds it up
to the picture. You see it.
You see it in the picture.
Yeah, that's the picture. You see it.
See?
I see it.
12 is right there.
Let me ask a question. Maybe bring this thing back on the center, if I could.
Still well over 40.
Yes.
Without me going through the entire, what was applied for? Help me out again. What did the picture look like, the diagram that was applied for, and did that floating dock somehow end up on the end of the pier in addition to what was initially applied for?
Yes, sir.
How did that happen?
Floating pier was never part of the
application. That's what I want to know. How did that happen?
We built the dock, the house, and everything. That was all approved, and then we had a construction site had that float extra.
I think we're getting to it.
And that was given to us, so we made arrangements to put it right there.
Without a permit?
Yes, sir.
And without submitting after the, just a minute. You told me you weren't going to testify. If you want to testify, you can. It's more than welcome to. Who authorized the placement of that floating pier there without a permit from the Marine Resources Commission?
No one authorized. We're just the owner of the property put it in.
Okay. Well, I like to separate the wheat from the chaff so I can know what we're deciding. Mr. Daniels, do you want to testify?
Sir.
You raise your right hand. You saw me swear the testimony you're about to give me the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got.
I do.
Thanks. State your name for the record, please.
Sam Daniels.
Can you tell us what the deal is on the floating pier?
Before the spring of 2006.
Come up to the microphone a little bit closer. Thank you, Mr. Daniels.
We put the floating dock in the spring of 2006 before you required a permit. That's the reason why it was in there, sir.
Before was required a permit?
Yes, sir.
That's what we were told by BMRC.
I think we did have this conversation. We did talk about this on site, but
right.
I believe the law changed in 2005, and there was some conversation. I, at the time I was out there, I said if it was put in before then,
yep.
It might have been okay.
Okay.
But I believe that we determined that the law changed. They changed in 2005, and they admitted that they put it in.
During our conversation, Ben, this is what we were saying.
So the bottom line is what we're talking about is whether or not we authorize it floating pier on the end of that dock at the present time. Mr. Josephson, counsel for the commission.
Looking at the annotation to section 28.2-1203, which authorizes the 400 square feet, and down at the Acts of Assembly, it indicates when amendments were made, and there's no amendment for 2005. There's a 2003 and there's a 2006. I don't know which one made this amendment, but my guess is it's 2006.
And that's what we followed up on, appears the floating fixed dock was put in before permit application, so there shouldn't be a problem. And also, the judge close.
Mr. Graham.
Whatever it changes, keep in mind that prior to 400, it was 250. It was not
that's correct.
Open-ended where you could do anything that the General Assembly imposed 400 square feet. It was much less until the General Assembly raised it to 400. And the boathouse was constructed without any application or permit. It was only after we went through the process, got the neighbors to agree, that it met the exemption. So the boathouse was constructed without any authorization as well.
Commissioner, what we're requesting is there be a waiver of the two jet ski floats. We only use them 3 months a year. We pull them right up on the beach, pull them out of the water. But the issue is the floating dock, or the swim platform. If we keep that in place, we're looking at about 64 feet over the 400 feet, and we're just asking for a waiver. I can resubmit an application for approval for this, or...
Mr. Fox.
Mr. Schick.
I'm sorry. I'll be all right. It's early today. I've got all day long to screw up some more.
Now, of course, if this all had been done on an application, we probably would be having this. But there is no time in recent history that you could put a floating dock in and not have a permit.
My point.
So this 2005, 2006, that doesn't matter. The fact is you always had to have a permit for floating dock. Is that correct? Yeah, I just want to make sure I had that right in my mind. Next question is this application asking for the covered boat slip? Or was that approved under, because there was no objection? And
because they provided us APO signatures, as constructed, and it's less than 700 square feet and open-sided.
Those that don't know, that's adjoining property owner, so I may not know. I just want to clarify. That's fine.
It meets the code requirement, so it doesn't require a permit. So we don't believe you need to take any action.
But that was after the fact also.
That was after the fact. But, in theory, you could build one of these without coming to us, and it would be authorized by the code, although you should apply.
But you still have to have a permit, just like a dock.
You have to have the 8 foot.
I have to have a permit from us.
You have to submit something, and you have to have the adjoining property owner.
Right.
It's only exempt.
Right.
The neighbors do not exempt, you know.
And there was no notification before the covered roof was built further. So we have a floating dock that was put in that was never approved, never applied for. We have a covered roof over a boat slip that was never applied for, and the neighbors were never notified. Same thing with the fixed dock section. Now, the question is how did all that get built? And we weren't notified, and who is responsible for that? Are you involved in after the fact of all of this, or were you involved with
the whole project?
The whole project.
Yeah. We have several letters here that was submitted, and where they come out and inspected it, and you know, we talked about the roof, but we just never put it in the permit application. And when Ben come out there, we measured it and said that's not a problem. It's under 700 feet. But they just wanted something on paper by the neighbors saying it was approved.
I think what you've got here is a situation where certain things were submitted for approval, then it grew appendages. No, I mean to be fun. And then we went back out as a good steward. Instead of saying rip the roof off and start all over again, we worked to bring that into compliance, as sometimes good government should do. And now we've got a floating dock. And the bottom line is, you can look at it from a number of different perspectives right now. Either that you don't like the dock, it exceeds, and it needs to be ripped out of there. The roof now, at whatever juncture, except as you indicate, Mr. Schick, was not done the way that it was supposed to have been done, has been done now, has been certified by the agency under the statutory allowances. Where we are now, of course, is what to do with the excess 286 square feet. He either rips it out, you give him a variance, or you let him stay there and charge him civil penalties. You've got a number of different things, and that's what's basically in front of the commission at this juncture, as I see it. Correct?
And what we're asking for is, you know, variance of the jet ski pads. We'll pull them out, and then we're kind of stuck.
I'm not so sure I want to pull what I versus left there, quite honestly. Mr. Schick?
I mean, I guess when we get to talking about a motion. I mean, I don't have a problem with the whole structure, jet ski, whether they're on lifts or on these types of floating things that, you know, it's a fine line. Floating dock, you know, if it had all been applied for up front, the way it's supposed to be done.
You've hit it right on the head.
You know.
That's the issue.
My problem is not with the structure, not with what's there. My problem is that we have people accepting money to do a professional job, and here we are talking, you know, a half hour, 45 minutes on something that should have been done, you know, in a matter of 15.
Let's do this. Let's kind of move away at this juncture to see if there is anyone in opposition to the project. We'll get that out the way, then we'll go back to working on the case in chief. Is anyone here in opposition to the matter? There being none, the matter is before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Holland?
I think this is convoluted. I would move that we give the waiver, remove the jet ski platforms, and we allow the floating dock, which is only going to give us 64 square feet over. And that would be my motion.
I'd like to add some civil penalties on.
And please tell me exactly what they will be so the maker of the motion and the person that will be seconded will understand it clearly so we won't have any misunderstanding after this matter is finished.
I think we're talking about environmental impact is minimal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we do have a major, as far as a degree of non-compliance, this thing is. So I guess that's $1,800. Plus triple fees.
I'll accept that.
Mr. Stagg, do you have a comment?
Well, I do. We have a pending application to reconfigure this in some manner that we suspended action on because
they were out of compliance.
Uh-huh.
We'll need to come back into compliance.
Uh-huh.
I have not run an ad or anything for anything that's out there yet because we stopped processing based on that.
So you have some concern adjoining property owners may not be afforded the opportunity?
I want to caution the commission that if this is the action you're taking and this is the final action, you know, and nothing's been advertised to the public or to the adjacent, but I think the adjacent property owners have seen it. They gave us an APO form. I assume it's for the project, not just for the boathouse, but we have not run an ad for anything that's there.
So maybe we should...
This is the restoration here, and we weren't really processing. We weren't bringing this for the reconfiguration. Certainly it's up to the commission, whatever action you want to take as far as what can stay there. My suggestion would be take whatever action you want. I think they continue to want to do... They want to put the jet ski floats back in, I assume, in summer. So they're going to want to put those back in, even though if they're willing to pull them out right now and leave the floating dock.
I believe the
so we could continue processing the application and they can submit new revised drawings for some other community.
What we're saying is this is where we stand after today.
Right, but I want to make sure that that's clear that there is still a pending application and we haven't advertised any of the
configurations. Anything they want to do other than what we do today, they have to bring it back.
Can I show them there? You know?
No, I don't want to say that.
That was just a minor change. Yeah, we'll address that later.
Okay.
Now, to clarify the motion is that the jet ski platforms can stay in year round.
No, the jet ski platform will be removed.
Oh, will be removed.
And the floating platform will stay in place.
Now, can they put the jet ski platforms in the summer? Okay.
I would presume that's going to be part of the next application, correct?
No, we were hoping. No. No.
You know, it sure makes it a lot easier when you apply for these things under the color of law and do them correctly. Because I'm to the point now where I'm about ready to basically just say, you know what, let's put the whole thing on hold. Whatever was applied for was applied for, and we'll start over again. But at the same time...
I guess so that we all leave here with the same understanding, it would be staff's understanding that if the commission opts to approve... 464 square feet.
Correct.
Which is, I guess, the figure that they're talking about right now. But the 464 square feet is the maximum, and however he wants to rearrange it. If he wants to come in March and pull everything out and do whatever he wants so that it's not any more than 464 square feet, that's what the commission's authorizing. That
would be my understanding.
Okay.
Exactly.
But right there, the way it is, it's authorized with the floating dock because that gives them the 460.
You can come back and apply for whatever you want to after today. It matters not to me. Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, just to follow up on Mr. Grab's comments, I'm trying to reconcile those with the motion that's before us, and I'm having a little bit of trouble doing that. I guess my thinking is that one of the, perhaps an alternative way forward would be to limit the project to a certain square footage of encroachment and then request that the applicant submit drawings that are acceptable to staff before reconfiguring the dock. Because I think...
You're talking about in the future or as it is currently?
Well, if they want to reconfigure what's there and if that's the better long-term solution, I think we would be better off establishing a maximum square footage and requiring requiring drawings that are acceptable to staff to come back to us, because right now, frankly, I'm not able to reconcile some of the numbers that the applicant has suggested. He says it will be over about 64 square feet, but that doesn't reconcile with Ben's numbers. I was wondering if the construction of the floating pier is modular so that part of it could be removed, because that would bring that if you were only over about 64 square feet, and you remove 8 feet of it, you'd be in compliance. But in fact, when I go back and look at Ben's numbers, the numbers are actually in excess of that.
Mr. Tankard?
I have similar feelings and thoughts. Quite frankly, this thing is somewhat of a mess. It seems like our discussion in general proves that. I think that to be fair to people on this creek and others who put up docks, this whole thing needs to go back to square one. And I think the floating dock could be floated out and taken away, and we can get back to 400 feet. And then if he needs to do something else, we do that. But this idea of being able to skirt government or our regulations, manipulate our staff, almost seems manipulative in some ways. We shouldn't let this go. I feel very strongly that the taxpayers' money, staff's time, is real here, and it's been taken advantage of.
The substitute motion?
Substitute motion is to adopt staff recommendations.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Lane. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
How many noes? Two noes. Three, I'm sorry. Motion carries to staff, accept staff recommendations. You can get with Mr. Stagg, he'll explain to you the application process to get this thing. We want to work with you, and I think that's at the end of the day what we want. We just want to make sure it's done right.
There was no act to manipulate this in any way.
And I believe you. I really do.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on the agenda is Ron Edwards 09-0990.
And now for something completely different. An after-the-fact request. I'm blaming someone else for mine.
Let me, before you start, not to editorialize, but I am. I think there are times where we strive as a citizen body to try to be as accommodating as we possibly can, taking consideration staff's recommendations, which to me are some of the best recommendations one could hope for, and then trying to reconcile in our heart of hearts what is right from an environmental perspective and as good stewards. And sometimes it just doesn't quite come together as fluidly as we would like it. It may sound like at times that we're going in 14 different directions up here, and we are. But that's because we're wrestling with what's in the best interest of the environment, what's in the best interest of the applicant, because we want to be fair with them, and what's in the best interest of the adjoining property owners and the other citizens of the Commonwealth that we're entrusted to protect under the public trust doctrine. So I really felt it important, because you have a discussion like that where you're trying to do the best all the way around, it's difficult. And sometimes, quite honestly, it doesn't sound like we're on the same sheet of music, when in all actuality we're just trying to come to some type of solution that's in the best interest of all under the laws of the Commonwealth of Virginia. I just felt important to say that, and having said that, Mr. Tankard?
And likewise, I, Mr. Holland's motion, utter respect for Mr. Holland and his motion. Mr. Holland likes to get things done. He's known for getting things done. And like you say, it's in a balance between the law and getting something done for the people of the Commonwealth. Thank you very much.
Mr. Josephson.
I would just suggest that the last couple of comments be made a part of the previous record.
So noted, please, Kath, if you would.